Want to listen to The Sound of Surrey live? Couldn't be easier. Download the Brooklands Radio app right now through Google Play or the App Store to listen to us anytime, any day, anywhere.
Around Surrey with Danny Mimoni.
This is Danny Mimoni with Brooklands Radio for Around Surrey. And today I'm sitting at a blacksmith's place, literally just outside of Guildford, a stone's throw away, with the lovely Bex Simon, a lady blacksmith. Hello, Bex.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Can you tell me, where exactly are we?
So we are in Guildford, but we're a village called Wood Street Village, not far from Guildford University, on Terry Clark's farm. Terry is one of the British artist blacksmiths that was part of the revival in sort of the 70s and 80s. And, yeah, this is his amazing, huge workshop.
Describe it a little bit. I mean, so it's a long, bumpy drive up a little narrow lane. There's two wonderful Angus, I can't remember what they're called, cows that greet you in a little paddock as you arrive here. And it's a massive workshop, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's bits of scrap metal all over the place and bits of wood, etc. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, it's if you go to any sort of workshop where a blacksmith lives and works, this is generally the sort of stuff you have lying around, gas bottles, steel racks and things. So yeah.
And how did you come to get into being a blacksmith?
Well, at school, I was really not very academic, being dyslexic and not knowing. So I really didn't understand what was going on, but I loved art. So I went more on creative. I did ceramics A-level. But, you know, working with clay is a slow process and I'm incredibly impatient. So when I was looking, you know, what to go on to go to art college, I walked into a blacksmith's workshop where they were working with fire and hammers and, you know, and it just absolutely hit me that was something that I needed to learn.
There's something quite amazing about it all, actually, isn't there? It's a very kind of visual as well as physical thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's quite medieval. You know, workshops tend to be quite dreary places just because, you know, you've got your fire in there and all the tools, it's all dirty. So, they're like sort of little caves. But, yeah, just a great place to start.
Do you need special qualifications or is it an apprenticeship that you do?
Well, I mean, like, you've got all different levels, really. The guys here, we've all been to Hereford. So Hereford College of Technology, well, now it's Home Lacey. They have
I know it well, actually.
Oh, yes, yeah, because you...
I grew up on a farm in Hereford and we had our own blacksmith.
They've got the most amazing setup there. I mean, they've got the workshop with about 30 hearths in there, and that's just the blacksmith side. Then you've got the farrier side. So you can do, like, a degree. There's a national certificate. Well, there was when I did them. I'm just currently on the DFS, which is a two-year level 3 blacksmithing, and it's focused on design and forge work skills. So it's all very traditional blacksmithing, lots of fire welding and stuff, spread over 2 years. And it's absolutely fantastic. My husband, Dave, and business partner, calls it my blacksmith holiday because I go there for a week, no kids, and just do blacksmithing and forging. I've still got some of the blisters. I guess you've got the professionals, and not, I mean, some people are self-taught, some do apprenticeships, some have been to Hereford, there are other places around.
It's also quite a science, isn't it, because you're explaining to me about the fire. I mean, for mere mortals like me, you'd think, you know, you just put a match to a few bits of coal or something and off you go, but clearly it's not like that. Just describe very briefly a little bit about what's involved.
Okay, so, I mean, basically, fire is our tool, and if you've got bad fire management skills, then you're going to burn a lot of your work, you know, you're not going to be able to...
You don't imagine that you can burn metal.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you put your piece of metal in the wrong part of the fire because you have an oxidizing, like, section, that's where your blower, called a chew iron... you know, blows in the cold air. And if you've got your metal in that bit, then it's going to oxidise the metal, and so it goes all scaly, and it's sort of, well, it's like melted. It's just not, you know, it's not very nice to work with. It's not good for your metal. So, you know, the section above it is your neutral zone. So that's where you put your metal in. And then, you know, you can heat your metal up to, if you want to fire weld, it's about 1,200 degrees C, you know. Whoa. It's, yeah. And I mean, the whole thing about metal, so you get this piece of metal that's completely strong, rigid structure, you stick it in fire, you're heating it up, you're like changing all the molecules, they're all expanding and moving around, and then suddenly it's just soft like plasticine, and it just moves. So you manipulate it, yeah, you leave it to cool, and then it goes back to this amazingly strong structure again.
It's a bit of magic, really, isn't it?
It is. We are wizards.
Tell me a bit about what kind of metalwork that you do, because it's quite varied, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess for the beginning part of the business, it's very Art Nouveau inspired work, and a lot of private clients. I used to do Chelsea Flower Show and Hampton Court Flower Show, so I guess like garden inspired pieces and furniture and stuff. Then we've done interior things, we've done some cast iron, a cast iron range which is still out in the shops, and that's very Art Nouveau style. And then now, I guess because I'm back at college, I'm really trying to bring in a lot more traditional aspects into the work, because they're just so beautiful. You just really appreciate them. So we're trying to bring that in. We're doing this big piece of public art at the moment, so we're trying to incorporate as
a
many
hush
things.
Hush, isn't it?
Yeah. We've been asked not really to, you know, speak about it too much, but it'll be revealed in July next year. So
looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's 40 meters of public art. So.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, a huge project.
Yeah, we're doing it with Terry Clark, a collaboration. And then also we've got Richard Hillams come in to help with us. We've got Terry's daughter, Rebecca Knott, who's an amazing blacksmith in her own right. So she's going to be working on it. And we've got Jake Dow and Simon Bushell, who are two employees. So there's a team of us working on it. It's very exciting.
How long have you actually been doing this for?
Self-employed. I set up the business in 1999. So,
quite 17 years.
Before that, I did 2 years at Hereford. Oh, I worked with a company for about a year. Then I did 2 years at Hereford. Before that, I did a three-dimensional design in metalwork in Farnham Art College. It's been long.
And you're telling me there's a big community of blacksmiths now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, blacksmiths are just like everywhere, but it's weird, the community of blacksmiths is so big and it's so supportive, you know. And they do these forgings, you know, all over the country. Recently there was quite a big one down in Hastings, and it was Blacksmiths on the Beach. It was over a long weekend, and they had stands up so, you know, general public could go and watch people forging and stuff. And they made a sculpture that's now been positioned there. And then also there was a really big one over in Ypres, and blacksmiths from all around the world were forging steel poppies. You know, it is quite an amazing thing.
It is quite incredible, because I don't know, if you're not sort of looking for a blacksmith, you sort of think, oh, it's a dying art, there's not many blacksmiths around, but clearly that's not the case.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, it's I guess because it's this cross over point of, is a blacksmith a farrier, or, you know, a farrier does the horseshoes. It's the blacksmiths now who make these functional art using traditional techniques. Then you have the artist blacksmith, which uses, like me, you know, I use a bit of traditional with contemporary, so I use the weld. But yeah, there's an absolute thriving community of blacksmiths.
And you have children as well. How many children have you got?
Yeah, I've got two little girls. So Molly's 5 and Leonie's just 3.
Oh, bless. And what do they think about your work?
Molly just has no interest in being a blacksmith, because it's really dirty and noisy, and you can't dress in your princess dress, you know.
Well, you could, but it's probably not very practical.
Yeah, and they're highly flammable. So,
yeah.
Whereas Leonie, I think she's got a bit more tomboy in her. She does get, like, she's a bit more interested, but who knows?
I love the fact that you've been talking to schools, haven't you, about blacksmith work.
Oh, yes, we have actually, yeah. We taught at Molly's school. We did an introduction and showed them slides and everything. And we did a few workshops. And afterwards, you know, we said, so who wants to be a blacksmith? And they all put their hands up, apart from Molly.
That's kids for you. Are you still taking commissions and things, or are you a bit too busy at the moment?
Yeah, we still take on commissions. I love designing. Work's still coming in, even though we've got this big project on, because I can design and we subcontract. So, yeah, absolutely. And then we do that TV programme, Money for Nothing, so which is on BBC One. We just finished filming Series 3, I think, with them. So you can see what we're doing on that. But, yeah, I mean, we're just about to launch a new website, and it feels all very exciting at the moment.
What would you say to somebody that was thinking of, you know, maybe a youngster out there that's struggling a bit at school but wants to find an alternative career path? What would your advice be to them about the sort of thing you're doing?
Well, I'd say, you know, try and find a lesson. I mean, when I realised I was interested in blacksmithing, the very first thing I did was I booked myself on a weekend course on the Fire and Iron Gallery in Leatherhead. It's the most beautiful place. They've got workshops there, amazing gallery. Lucy's house is just stunning. There's only 5 real techniques to learn. And so on that course, I think we made a hanging basket bracket. It was a really good taste of being creative though and having a go. So I'd really advise, there's loads of places that do courses.
Would you say it's a difficult, complicated thing to learn, or not so much?
I think it depends on how far you want to take it. The actual blacksmith traditional craft is incredibly hard. It's amazing. I just absolutely wowed by it. There's some genius blacksmiths out there. So you can take it as far as you want, really. It's a personal choice, because now you do have all these machinery and stuff. So again, I'd say explore, enjoy what you want to see. I mean, there's the V&A. They have a whole gallery of metalwork that dates right back, and it's stunning, to up to contemporary. Go and have a look at that, and just, yeah, go for it.
Brilliant. Bex, thank you very much. If people want to get hold of you, how will they do that?
Oh gosh, through our website, which is www.bexsimon.com, which is bexsimon.com. So, yeah, either that, we've got our phone number on there, or Twitter, I'm Bex Simon Artist. Same with Facebook, Bex Simon Artist Blacksmith, and Instagram. It's so different now in the old days. Oh, my goodness.
Tell me about it. I wish you the best of luck with your secret commission, and very much look forward to when that comes out. Maybe we can do a catch-up then.
Yeah, no, that'd be absolutely marvellous.
Thanks very much.
Excellent. Cheers, then.
I've now got Simon Bushell here. Tell me a bit about what you do, because I understand you've got a travelling forge.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How does that work?
It's pretty heavy for a travelling forge, for a start. I built a trailer. It's quite small, but it folds out, back comes up, and the side comes down, and I can work out of it. I've got 2 forges and 2 anvils and all my tools, and the side comes down into a display table. I take it around to events, sell my wares, and run workshops so people get to come and have a go.
Like a taster session or something?
Yeah, it's kind of bringing blacksmithing to the public. It's obviously not a very accessible thing for a lot of people. Can't always find a blacksmith around the place, and there are a lot of people interested in the craft areas at events and festivals. It's just a great way for people to come and have a little taster.
What took you into blacksmithing?
Funnily enough, it was actually coming here when I was in school, and I was about 17.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah. You know, you have to do a work experience. You have to go and find somewhere to work.
Yeah, that's a real struggle.
Yeah, so I was always into making things anyway. So I thought, oh, I'll try something in metal. And I looked up on the internet, like, the local blacksmiths, found BUBBA, which is the British Artist Blacksmiths Association, and that directed me to Terry Clark. And did a week with him, and then loved it so much I came back during the summer holidays. And then he told me all about Hereford, the college up in the West Country, and I ended up going there.
That's really wonderful. Most kids really struggle to get anything near exciting work experience. Really cool to find a blacksmith that you can get work experience with.
So lucky that he was just down the road. Yeah, and it really kick-started me getting into it. There's a lot of friendly vibes around everyone, and no one sort of keeps any secrets from each other.
Some areas of work or business or whatever, people are quite protective, aren't they, about what they know and their experience. But it's not like that in blacksmithing.
No, everyone's very generous. It's very easy to go somewhere and sort of say, do you have any work? Can I just come and work for you? Or I'm interested in what you're doing. Can you teach me a bit about that? And most of the time, you'll be accepted into the workplace and given bed and board.
That's brilliant. I mean, is that a global thing? Or
pretty
just...
much. I mean, there's still a lot of people doing what used to be a journeymanship where, you know, you leave everything behind and you travel. You can't spend any money and you travel from blacksmith to blacksmith. And it happens in other crafts as well. And you're put up for so long and you're fed, and then they send you on to the next blacksmith. And people are still doing it now, basically to up and travel with your hammer in your bag.
That sounds amazing. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, no, it's still very, very commonly done thing within blacksmithing, at least. It's the best way to learn, really.
Do you have a name for your business, if people are looking for you on the internet?
The best place, actually, is business is Drawn Iron. The Travelling Forge is the Nowhere Forge. And the Nowhere Forge has a Facebook page. And we've been posting up stuff about the summer just gone. My girlfriend, Becky, has been travelling around with me, and she's a jeweller. She does silversmithing, so she's been doing silversmithing workshops, and we've been making things on the road and selling them at the events.
How wonderful. It just sounds great. I'm really jealous. Brilliant. Well, I wish you the best of luck with the Nowhere Forge.
Thanks very much.
Sounds wonderful. And I'll look for you on social media.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
I've got Jake Dow here, who's also working alongside Bex in the workshop here at Wood Street Village. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing here.
So I'm currently working full-time here with Bex and a number of other members of the team. And we're working on quite a large job. It's got a series of very large components. We've just currently been making some large hops plants, which go in at the start of the sculpture.
You mentioned that you started out as a tattooist. I'm really curious, because it's a bit of a difference between being a tattooist and a blacksmith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only sort of connection I could see there would be branding.
Yep, that's one.
I don't think it would go down too well, you know. To begin with, I didn't actually know that I wanted to be a blacksmith. It was whilst I was working as a tattoo artist that I decided that I wanted to do something else, mainly because I was sitting indoors a lot of the time. I found it quite monotonous, enjoyable in some respects, but large parts of it quite monotonous, and I wanted to do something with a bit more activity, a little bit more physical exercise, something a little bit more hands-on, and something I could work within a team and with other people. We had a farrier shoeing our horses at the time, and who I was quite friendly with, so I got talking to him, and he said, why don't you come out and spend a few days with me, see if you enjoy this. So I thought, why not give it a go? It seemed to have all of the elements within that that appealed to me, all the things that I was looking for anyway. I went out and spent a couple of days with him, and sure enough, the social aspect of it was fantastic. It was very hands-on, talking to customers, it was a good solid wage and all these things. I spent a few days with him, and then I thought, how can I make this a career for myself? I spoke to Herefordshire College of Technology because I knew that they offered a course within that sector. It turned out that you had to do a year basic blacksmithing before any farrier would even consider taking you on, because there's such a large basic understanding that you need to have.
It's more complicated than it seems.
Yeah, definitely. More so with farry, in the sense that they're nailing iron onto a live animal, and the horse's hoof is ever so sensitive in many different areas. So when driving a nail into the horse's hoof, you need to be making sure that you're driving it into the right part. And when you're forging a horseshoe, any defects or deviations in the shoe can cause the nail to drive up into the wrong part of the foot.
That sounds pretty terrifying.
Mm-hmm. But it gave me a great basis for my learning, because it meant that all of my forge work had to be very clean, very accurate. And then when I decided that I didn't want to be a farrier anymore, I decided that actually the part that I liked most about the job was the metalworking. So I decided then to enrol on the level 3 diploma at Herefordshire College of Technology, which took me on to another 2 years of blacksmithing. And I sort of further my skills in design, technical joins on metal and stuff like that. Came out straight out of college and went on to work with a blacksmith full time. Been here now for the best part of 2 months, and 3.5 years at college before that. So
brilliant. Jake, thank you so much for your time, and I wish you the best of luck with your career.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Pleasure to meet you.
Richard, hello.
Hiya, yeah, I'm Richard from RM Hill & Iron Works.
And what are you doing here at Woodbridge?
I'm helping with Bex and David on a project at the moment. I used to work here in these workshops a number of years ago, and so they wanted me to come back in and use some of the equipment and give them a hand for a while.
How long exactly have you been blacksmithing?
I started back in 1993, so yeah, about 23 years now I've been doing this. Just starting to get the hang of it.
And what took you into blacksmithing?
Didn't really have a clue when I was at college, and a blacksmith came in to work with some of the students to do a sculpture for the college, and so I put my name forward, had a go, and thought, yeah, this is quite good fun. So got a few contact numbers from him and ended up here.
It's a much bigger community than I realised.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, different varieties. There's, you know, so much space for people. There's the full-on, purely artistic work. There's the very traditional. There's the guys who do repair works. All sorts out there.
And what do you normally specialise in?
I do all sorts. I mean, the last for me was a big restoration work for Cambridge. The last big commission was a restoration of an entrance gates for Maddingley Hall in Cambridge, where the overthrow wasn't high enough for a fire engine to fit underneath it.
A bit vital.
It was, and it only came to light when they needed to get one through.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, so I got the job of basically taking the gates away, restoring and refixing some of the accident damage, and then about 4 weeks ago they all went back in looking good.
You say it as though it's the easiest thing in the world.
I was lucky with, I had a few guys come in and help me at the end of the project to fit it, and with the experience between everyone, it did go very smoothly.
What has been your most challenging job to date?
I don't know. I mean, part of what attracts me to this is the variety, and pretty much every job, something in it will be different and need working out.
Is there a particular thing or project or something that really sticks out in your long career of blacksmithing?
Well, there was one particular staircase, or the balustrading for a staircase, that was going up over 3 floors, and we had to had a Cuban mahogany listed handrail on the top that it had to match and couldn't cut or anything, and stairs underneath that didn't line up with the handrail, and so it was very elaborate rolling scroll work with leaves and then gilded in a house that was finished with very nice silk wallpaper. That was a challenge. But normally, if you've got enough time, it can be done.
And so dare I ask what the result of that was?
We ran on by about 2 months and close to bankruptcy. But yeah.
It was worth it in the end.
It was a stunning job, yeah. Yeah, it's a very nice one to have.
God. You know, you don't think about things like that, do you? You know, in your everyday life, if you're not a blacksmith, you see incredible ironwork and metalwork and you kind of appreciate its beauty, but you don't really understand the amount of work and effort that goes into it.
A lot of what, as a blacksmith, I think we do need to do is educate people as what goes into it and what can be done. You know, we often receive a drawing that might be through an architect or a building, and it's a series of straight lines with, you know, no fun to it. And once a bit of metal's got hot, sky's the limit. It is a bit like working plasticine, only, you know, using big hammers instead of your fingers. And then it really does become exciting and fun. You know, this kind of why we do it is for the hot worked stuff. It's not just cutting and welding things together.
Well, Bex was talking about Art Nouveau, actually one of my favourite periods of art, and so much incredible work done around that period of time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty useless on the history of what came where. But certainly...
One of the more kind of you know, a very decorative sort of era, but it just does show you what is achievable.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I've done all sorts of Art Nouveau work, I suppose, arts and crafts, and, you know, more decorative on there. My sort of personal thing, I do love a lot of the industrial work. For me, a lot of the interests are the joints and how things are put together, punched holes, big riveted details, changing of sections, rather than necessarily just having a nice scroll on the end. It's how it gets there that's the fun part. That kind of work is one I always enjoy doing.
All the finishing touches.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it really is in the detail. You get that right, it shows.
If people want to find out about your business, where would they find you?
You can find me on Facebook or on Instagram. Just search under RM Hill & My Ironworks.
Nice to meet you, Richard.
And you.
I wish you the best of luck for the next 20-odd years of your blacksmithing career. I better not keep you from your work. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks. Nice to meet you.